My name is Ryan Shibley. I'm the Director of Student Ministries here at Good Shepherd, which means I have the greatest job in the world because I get to work with middle school and high school students as well as our college and young adults as well. But it's always great to have the opportunity to kind of step out of that world a little bit. I mentioned in previous services, it's already weird to be in an environment where I'm speaking and people are looking at me. Like, it's already, that doesn't happen a lot in student ministry world. I usually have to, like, beg for your attention. So this is already a little strange and a little foreign to me. But it's great. As Pastor Gary mentioned, if he does come running out of the service, I won't be overwhelmed so much as I'm just going to switch to student ministry. We're going to play games. I'm going to hand out some snacks. We're going to make it through. So, I mean, I guess feel free if you just want to, whatever you like to do, but it'll be great. But I leaped at the opportunity to get to kind of lead our message time this weekend. When I asked Pastor Gary, what are we talking about that particular Sunday, he asked if I'd be willing to talk about love and acceptance. And I guess if I have to. I don't know if there's, I guess. No, but there's no idea in the Christian faith that has transformed my life more than understanding the love and the acceptance of God. Sometimes we call that grace. And we heard from a passage earlier that we kind of interacted with in our service about how we are commanded to love others as God has loved us. But I also want to draw our attention to some words of Jesus in the Gospels. But before we do that, why don't we pray together and we'll kind of continue on from there. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, I just pray that you would be with us in this moment. God, I also at the same time trust that your Holy Spirit is already here. So God, as we learn from your word, as we think about challenging ideas, as we dig into scripture together, as we share ideas, that this would just be a time that our hearts and our minds would be focused on you and transformed by you. So God, we trust that you are here with us. Just help us to be aware of your presence. It's in the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. So in the sixth chapter of the Gospel of Luke, Jesus shares these words with his disciples and with us. To you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you. If someone slaps you on one cheek, turn to them the other also. If someone takes your coat, do not withhold your shirt from them. Give to everyone who asks you, and if anyone takes what belongs to you, do not demand it back. Do to others as you would have them do to you. If you love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who are good to you, what credit is that to you as well? Even sinners do that. And if you lend to those from whom you expect repayment, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to other sinners, expecting to be repaid in full. But love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. Then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and the wicked. So be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful. As I hear those words in Scripture, as I hear the words from 1 John that we interacted with earlier, I'm struck by the fact that they're really easy to accept on the surface and really challenging to accept when we dig deeper into it. Because when it comes to this idea of love, I think you and I and everyone has what I call a them. Meaning we read Jesus say, love your enemies, and that sounds great, but we're quick to dismiss it. Yeah, love your enemies, but he didn't mean them. He didn't mean them. Like, yes, do good to others, but them? So if you're honest with yourself and you're honest to God, who's your them? Who is the person that when Jesus says to love others, you're quick to dismiss? The person that cut you off in traffic on the way here to church this morning? The neighbor who, when it snows, doesn't shovel the sidewalk well enough? Is it that coworker you just never get along with? That family member that you had a falling out with years ago that you just never want to speak to again? Is it Republicans? Is it Democrats? Is it Bears fans? We all have struggles. You know, well, who is your them? We all have one because we all do this. We all dismiss the words of Jesus. It sounds great on the surface. It all looks great if you knit it on a pillow or if you hang it up on your wall. Love your enemies. Do good to them. Sounds great. But Jesus, did you mean them? You didn't mean them. And so as I think about that and as I wrestle with that in my own life, I'm struck by the words of Martin Luther King Jr., a man that we speak of often in our home. And I'm struck by these words that he had to say. Returning hate for hate multiplies hate, adding deeper darkness to a night already devoid of stars. Darkness cannot drive out darkness. Only light can do that. Hate cannot drive out hate. Only love can do that. I think Martin Luther King Jr. is getting at something that Jesus was preaching on thousands of years earlier, that there's something radically transformational that happens when we choose love, even when it's difficult. So one of the things I was excited about for this 11 service is that I didn't have to treat it the same way I did the other message times, and I get to dip a little bit into some student ministry things. And one of the things I like doing in our student ministry world that typically happens on Sunday nights here when we take over the building is I like to kind of give people a chance to interact with each other. So hopefully you're sitting near someone you're going to be talking to. If you're sitting next to a family member you were hoping to not have to talk to for the next couple minutes, then this is definitely for you. And so, but kind of, you know, you want to find that person sitting next to you, kind of make that eye contact, like, hey, we're about to have a conversation. Hope you're ready. But I ask that occasionally I'm going to kind of turn it over to you to talk with some people around you. And the best conversations are the conversations when we can be the most vulnerable, when we be the most honest, when we don't want to just settle with, you know, simple churchy answers, but we can dig into this and be honest and be real and even express when something is hard to do. So as I asked you earlier to think about who your them is, I want you to turn to someone sitting next to you, and I have a question for you. And so we're gonna say, in what situations do you find yourself getting angry with others? Do you express that anger? If so, how or why not if you don't? And if it involves the person next to you, this is about to get real uncomfortable, but I think it'll be great. So, but in what situations, like who's your them in your life? And what do you do when that sort of anger starts to bubble up inside of you? So take a little bit, talk to someone sitting next to you, a group of three or four, however you want to do it. Hopefully everybody has something. If you have no one sitting next to you, slide on over. You got some new friends. It's great, and we'll go from there. So I'll call you back together in just a little bit. So talk with someone near you.
had some very strong song prayers. God, when are you going to take care of this dude? Sort of like the Sons of Thunder, you know. When are you bringing down lightning and thunder in, on this town to punish them?
That's right.
But it's, I mean, that's the nice thing about the children. God can take those prayers. He knows you're thinking them even if you don't say them. And it helps me to realize I'm not God. I think I know how it should be done. But
yeah.
It makes a big difference for me when I vocalize those things too.
So simply even based on the conversations happening in the room, it's clear that we all can relate. So I'm glad that no one seems to have, you know, no situation in their life where you're like, you know, no one ever really bothers me. I've got this love thing nailed down. Never get angry, constantly at peace. I mean, seem just solely based on, you know, the conversations happening, it's clear that we can all relate to this, which is, you know, encouraging as someone standing up front. They're like, excellent, relevant content. It's good. But when we think about what it means to love, and we're gonna look at what this means for our lives, but I want to even step back from that for a moment and focus our attention on God. Because even if we're going to talk about what it means to love others, we have to define what love is. And so this whole season during Advent, these weeks leading up to Christmas, we've been talking about presence, about God's presence here with us. And to me, there's no greater symbol of God's love, right? That God left heaven to be here amongst us, to be here with human beings. And he did it physically in the form of Jesus. He continues to do it today through his Holy Spirit. That's crazy to me because I don't know how much time you spend with people, but we're kind of messed up, right? So like that God would want to spend time with people is mind-boggling to me because we're not the best people to hang out with all the time. But yet God still chooses to do that. God chooses to have a relationship with us. Even the scriptures that we read earlier from the book of 1 John, like that say that God is love. It's the essence of who God is. It's not that God just shows love, but he is. It is very core of his being that God is love, that God has love for you and for me. That has to be our starting point because it's by understanding that God loves us and how that love propels us to feel accepted by him. That changes how we feel about other people around us. Because so often in our world, we step back and we have our them, right? And we end up living in a world and in a culture and in a time that too often it's us or them. There's this separating point between us and whoever them is for us. And we label and we judge and we keep at an arm's length whoever them is. And we read the scriptures and we say, wait, I'm supposed to love them? Hold on, Jesus, you don't understand. Do you know what they said? Do you know what they did? Do you know who they voted for? Like, do you know what they stand for? And sometimes when I have those feelings myself, if I step back from it a little bit, I even just kind of think about God going, yeah, do you know what you've said? Do you know what you've done? Do you know what you have stood for? Do you know who you voted for sometimes? And I find myself in a different position. Because it's so easy, right, for it to be us or them. I think there's no better illustration than what we just came out of recently as a country. We just came out of an election season. I don't know about you, I do not miss political TV ads at all. Kind of glad it's done for at least a little while. But I noticed as the election season went on, there was kind of a similar tone in every commercial I saw on my television. And it always like, that person is bad, and that person's good. Don't you dare vote for that person because they're evil. And that person's bad because they know this other person. And they're connected with this person way over here. And all of that's evil, and why would you ever want anything to do with them? And it happens on both sides. It's us or them. Who are you going to stand with? What side are you on, right? We even use that in our language, like what side of the aisle are you on? Like we separate us or them. But the gospel, the good news of Jesus continually drives us at something different. That something different is this theological term called Imago Dei, which is Latin for the image of God, meaning that every single one of us, every single person possesses this image of God, which comes with value. And it's not a value that we've earned. It's not a value that has anything to do with our status or our accomplishments or what neighborhood or school district we live in. It's simply because we are created by God, and by being created by God, that gives us value because he has determined that we get to be made in his image. So we get value. What if we started to see them as made in the image of God? Because like it or not, that coworker you don't get along with, they're made in the image of God. That family member that you had a falling out with, they're made in the image of God. That neighbor who doesn't shovel their sidewalk enough, made in the image of God. And even the leader of that political party that you want nothing to do with, made in the image of God. It changes the way we start to see people. Because I know my life, and I know how undeserving of the love of God I am. And yet God chooses to love me. Which maybe means that God could love them too. And when I start to see that, and I start to learn what love might mean, then it's no longer us or them. And it becomes us for them. Meaning I get to love them the way that Jesus loves me. In the gospel reading today, we see Jesus defining love, even love for our enemy. And he does it in extreme ways. He raises the bar of what it means to interact with our neighbors. Jesus says, if you get hit, don't hit back. Jesus says that love is shown in mercy and forgiveness. Jesus says, if people take from you, be generous. Be generous to the full. In fact, even be willing to lend and to give to people that you'll get nothing in return from. Serve them. Jesus says, you want to know what love looks like even for them? It looks like forgiveness and mercy and generosity and serving. Even when it's hard. Even when we could come up with a list of a million reasons why they don't deserve it. It'd be really easy for God to come up with a million reasons why I don't deserve his love, and yet he chooses to anyway. So in those moments that you find yourself most angry, you want to express that anger. What if you expressed forgiveness and mercy, generosity and serving instead, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's hard? And so what I want you to then talk about is to kind of define that. Because it's easy as a church member and a church staff member and as what I like to call a professional Christian. I get paid to wear a microphone and tell people about Jesus. It's easy to even sit in this room and say, yeah, we're going to love our neighbor. Forgiveness, I'm on board. Generosity, sure. Serving, when it's convenient. All right, we'll do it. But then we walk out of here and real life happens. What is that going to look like? And so I have another question I want you to talk about with the people around you. So love your enemies. Sounds like a nice idea. But what does it really look like today? Because Jesus talks about giving away your tunic. I don't rock one of those on a daily basis. I don't know. Well, maybe I'll try it out sometime. But it might look a little different. These situations might look a little different in your culture, in your life, in your day-to-day routine. But what is it going to look like for you to love them? Whoever them is. But what also makes that so difficult? It's a nice idea, hard to do. Why? Talk with some people around you for a little bit. listening to conversations here and there in the room, I'm encouraged that so many of us are wrestling with this difficult idea. Because whenever I study scripture with our students, I was like asking the question, like, what if Jesus really meant what he said? Right? Like, what if he actually believed in the things that he said? Well, that would change everything. Like, if these aren't just simple words to take in and let it feel good, like, what if he actually meant what he said? Well, that would change everything. And so we wrestle with difficult ideas. And I'm encouraged by kind of just the conversations already that are happening from the youngest in the room to the youngest at heart in the room, of how folks are kind of figuring out, what does this look like for me in my life? Because the more I start to understand this command from Jesus, the more it changes everything. I can't interact with my neighbors and my family and even people I meet on a daily basis. I can't interact with them the same if Jesus really meant what he said when he said these things. I start to see that imago Dei, that image of God in everyone, even the ones that might be the most difficult to love. And so every day we have to ask ourselves this question, well, what is it going to look like in this situation? What is it going to look like for me to love that person in that situation, and that person in that situation? Because that's love, is the shift from us or them to it being us for them. And that's love. And we talked about that love propels us to acceptance, because as we learn to not only love our enemies, but to accept others for the God-given value that they have, we realize it's not even us for them. It's just us. That we as people are all in this together. This is one big family that God has created us to be in. And sure, the family's a little weird, and like it's hard to have some conversations with everyone, but this is family. We don't walk away from family. We don't turn our back on family. I was always raised to believe that we sit down at the table and we have the hard conversations with family, because that's what love looks like. So what is it going to look like for you to love us? Not love them. There is no them. It's loving us. It's loving all of us, even when it's hard. I think to kind of wrap up this sort of message teaching time, rather than trying to wrap it up myself, I think we'll turn to the same man we kind of started with at the beginning. And we heard a quote from Martin Luther King at the start, and I want to kind of close this part of our time with a section of another one of his sermons that was collected. And so I have a little video I want you to watch and kind of let these words sink in about what is it going to mean to love others as the way that God has loved us. So let's watch this video together.
That is a little tree planted on a little hill, and on that tree hangs the most influential character that ever came in this world. Never feel that tree is a meaningless drama that took place on the stages of history. Oh no, it is a telescope through which we look out into the long vista of eternity. See the love of God breaking forth into time. It is an eternal reminder to a power-drunk generation that love is on the way. It is an eternal reminder to a generation depending on nuclear and atomic energy, a generation depending on physical violence, that love is the only creative, redemptive, transforming power in the universe. So this morning, as I look into your eyes, and into the eyes of all my brothers in Alabama and all over America and over the world, I say to you, I love you. I would rather die than hate you. And I'm foolish enough to believe that through the power of this love somewhere, men of the most recalcitrant bent will be transformed. And then we will be in God's kingdom. We will be able to matriculate into the university of eternal life, because we had the power to love our enemies, to bless those persons of curses, to even decide to be good to those persons who hated us, and we even prayed for those persons who despitefully used us. Oh God, help us in our lives and in all of our attitudes to work out this controlling force of love and this controlling power that can solve every problem that we confront in all areas. Let us join together in a great fellowship of love and bow down to the feet of Jesus. Give us this strong determination. In the name and spirit of this Christ, we pray. Amen.
So what I'd like us to do is kind of the final part of our message time is for you to reflect and for you to let the Holy Spirit guide you and to consider what comes next. What action step can you take from today? Because I never want to gather together as the people of God and have great conversations and then none of it matters out there. We always talk in our student ministries that we're not going to talk about things on Sunday that don't matter on Monday. So this matters. Like, what if I think Jesus meant what he said. And so what's the next step for you? And it might look different than the person next to you. Maybe it's a relationship that needs to be reconciled. Maybe it's grace that needs to be extended. Maybe it's an opportunity to be generous or to serve that you've never taken before. But what is it going to look like to love even when it's challenging? What is it going to look like to see the image of God in everyone, even the people you disagree with, even the people you might call enemies? What is that going to look like for you? And so take a moment to reflect on that, and then we'll close in prayer this part of our time together. So why don't you take a moment and kind of think through that a little bit. As you reflect, as you listen for God, let's pray together. God, I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you extend grace to us, that you accept us in our brokenness and in our messiness. God, that you give us value simply because we are created by you, not value that we earned, not value we could ever earn. God, I just thank you that you love us. Teach us what it means to love others, even when it's uncomfortable, even when it's difficult, even when we have a long list of reasons not to do it. Show us what it means to forgive, what it means to be generous, what it means to be servants in our daily life with the people closest to us and the strangers we meet every day. Show us what it means to love. Show us what it means to extend your presence into the world around us. God, show us what it means to be people of mercy, just as you are merciful. In the name of Jesus that we pray. Amen.